Hello, good evening. Welcome to our Sunday night. And we are outside on this beautiful summer evening just to celebrate the goodness of God and the warm sunshine for just a brief moment. Talk a little bit about the things of God tonight and remind you of who you are. Warts and all. Well, this is George Watkins, and if you haven't been with us before, we have a Sunday night broadcast every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, so you're welcome to join us, and you can subscribe on Facebook. Amen. Well, I had a dream this afternoon in my pre-nap before I came to the studio, which you can see the glorious studio I have. And in this dream, God gave me a word for you for this episode tonight. And it has to do with fulfilling the destiny and the purpose that God gave us on earth. We're not just breathing air and filling space. Taxes and raising kids. That's me. But the greater purpose that God sent you to earth for. And I want to just touch a little bit about that. If you've read the show notes, you kind of caught an idea of where I'm going today. But in the dream, I was going down the road, and ahead of me was a giant log. Now, I come from a logging country. The Northwest Territories have been notoriously famous. I guess that's the right word to use, but they've been famous for their logging industry. And over the year, and one of the reasons they have is because the logging companies 150 years ago or longer bought up most of the states of Oregon and Washington and parts of California. And so those of Douglas fir, they are owned by the logging companies. And you know how they got them? This is a side issue. I'll get to my point, but I love history. When the railroads came through the Midwest, right away, they owned land for 10 miles on each side of their, or at least five on each side of their railroad track. So what they did after they brought the railroad through, they sold that land off and traded a lot of it for the territory, so that the railroad companies became the logging industries. And it's switched names a number of times since I've been here, but those green hills up there are still producing logs because they set it aside to produce a log. Now, instead of 40 and harvested, they've manufactured or hybrid so that they can grow a tree in 20 years. I've been in town here 44 years and have seen the hill, we call it Cultus Mountain, right behind us, cut down just like mowing your yard. Now, back to my point. In my dream, that log was laying across the road and I couldn't get past. And when I came to myself again, the Lord gave me this word. He said, and in the dream, he wanted me, and this is, I'm continuing now, in the dream, stand it upright. And the Lord said, I want you to reposition the hindrance and make it a tool. And the tool then became these giant telephone and power lines. In our city, we just had a poles they come in and they cut the old one down that's getting deteriorated, and they put a brand new pole in its place. Now, that log that we call a telephone pole or a power pole, if it's laid across the road, it stops traffic. But when it becomes a tool of communication, becomes a tool of advancing the society and tying together industry and commerce. So the Lord spoke to me about that concerning our gifts. And in this short time that I have with you today, encourage you, those gifts that God gave you that seem to be a log in our eye. Now, in Luke and Matthew, both of them have the same teaching by Jesus, the same illustrated word. How can you take the speck out of your neighbor's eye, just that little insignificant grain of irritation, when you have a log, and the King James calls it a beam coming out of your own eye? The Amplified uses the log. Had this graphic picture of someone walking around with a big telephone pole coming out of their eye. But the Spirit of God says, don't consider that to be misplaced in the sense that you have that log for a reason. You need to reposition it. A gifted person that is not using their gift for God can use it for other purposes and not necessarily good purposes. They say, and I don't know how true it is, but they say every car salesman was really born to be an evangelist because of their ability to talk. Just can rattle off funny statements, or at least long diatribes, you know, on and on. Those are gifts God gave us. Now, if they're not positioned correctly, they can become a log that causes us not to see. I wonder how many precious brothers of the church, the kingdom of God, your friends, my friends, and even us at times, have allowed our personality, our temperament, our quick mouth, our criticism is simply gave you to discern that you don't have in the right position. You've got a critical eye, but you use it to point out everybody's problems instead of a discerning eye to know how to pray, intercede, and give instruction. You see, God gave you, God made you perfect. You say, well, I have this problem and that problem, and I've got a temper, and I just, you know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. There's some things we need to be angry about, not passive. Sit back and say, well, it's all going to work out while all hell is breaking out. No, there's times we take up the battle cry and go into warfare concerning the enemy and the attacks of the enemy. You don't just lay down and become passive. Let the gift you have be repurposed and put back into it. Arts and talents, graphic arts now in the computer, artistic arts and painting, songwriting. The church became so Victorian, it squeezed out all the color. I was raised in the Pentecostal tradition, pretty well made everything vanilla, and it was black and white, you know, it's either wrong or right, and the color had gone. So what happened? All of our talented young people that could draw, paint, sing, dance, create, build, you know, invented things. They were all shuffled off and pressured out of our straight-laced pinnacle world that accepted their giftings and, sadly to say, also encouraged their weaknesses. And we lost generations of creativity. Some of our greatest rock and roll stars, Jimi Hendrix, for instance, one of the greatest guitar players ever. In those early rock and roll days, he was a pastor, tried to play his fast-fingered, almost lost the word of God off my lap. when he tried to play his fast-fingered jazz guitar in the choir, they probably said, no, not here, out the door. And so he went out the door, and he became the most famous guitar player of that era, and then died early because of the evil drug addiction that was so prevalent in that hour. It took a moment of men and women that went into the world because their gift wasn't repositioned in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. We're seeing that differently today. I tuned into Bethel a little bit ago, and they have made room for so many styles of musical worship and singing. And if you'll go down, they have a whole list of them, and you know, one picture after another, and each of them are different. Well, I went down and found the one I liked, one that spoke to me, one that filled my world. Look, but in each of those places, they've allowed that gift, instead of being a log in the eye to blind the person and send them off into a world that destroys them, they reposition that gift to be a communicative gift and to be a transforming gift and to carry the message of the love of God to a world around them. You catch that? Now, I could go on with more illustrations, but I want you to just pick that up in your own spirit and begin to ask the Lord if there's something catawampus. I practiced that word today so I can say it correctly. Catawampus means, I think that was one of my dad's favorite words. It means it's just laying crooked. It's crossways. A gift, a critical eye, a critical spirit, needs to be turned into a discerning heart. Someone that is timid. A recluse. They hide out. You have a prophetic loud parties. Sure, that's not your temperament. God didn't give you that temperament. He gave you the ability to draw away with him into the secret place of the Most High and hear his voice. Not every temperament can do that. It takes some of these racehorse personalities. You can't get them settled very long. But the prophetic personality, the one that loves the silence and the meditative times. Now, if that's catawampus, if that's crooked, laying across your road, then you're a recluse. You're intimidated by everything. You hide out. You have a job that you're the only one on the job. How about repositioning and repurposing your gift? And asking the Lord to give you, write that thing up and let that be a communicative skill. I have gifts that are prominent, and they have not always been honed or fine-tuned. In the early days, I got in trouble with some of my gifts because of my rambunctious attitudes or my curiosity or just the fact that I was always poking my nose where it didn't belong. Now, I still poke my nose where it's unusual to go, and I'm still a trail breaker. I still am teaching and preaching and digging into things that the general church has not found yet. And I've got the wounds to prove it, the scars. And those scars are usually in my back from some well-meaning saint that thinks I'm in error. Why? Because my personality was kick the gate down and find out what's in there. Don't you dare. No, I belong there because I'm going to go in there and find out what it is, spiritually, obviously. Well, I did it in the natural a couple of times and got in trouble. I'll tell you that story later. Okay. I encourage you on this night. You can't see. You say, well, I don't know if I see or not. How about asking the Holy Spirit to refresh your eyes and cleanse your eyes and ask him to show you what may be crossing, you know, that log coming out, you know, boom, that may be blinding you to be able to help others. Now, here's the kicker. When that happens, then you're really able. Now, the scripture goes on to say, when that log is out of your eye, you will be able to see clearly. Well, I've been married 54 years, and more times than I can think, I had something in my eye, a hair, a piece of sand, or, some kind of object. And I needed help. And so I called my wife, and she comes over and knows how to pick it out or wash it out. Now, if she's coming at me and she can't see and she's groping and feeling, got her hand all over my head instead of my eye, I'm nervous. I'm backing up. If you can't see that thing, don't you get around my eye. So it is in the body of Christ. We try to help someone with our blind eyes. We try to use tradition on them. We heard this and someone told us this is the way to do it. We don't see anything ourselves. We're just repeating somebody else's stumblings. And we wound and we bruise with some of our counsel. We try to pray prayers that shouldn't be prayed because God didn't intend those prayers. They were just made up somewhere by the traditions of the elders. How about asking the Lord to give you insight so you can see your neighbor clearly? So you know that when that tattooed person walks by, or that person with the rings all over their head walks by, they are potential future evangelist pastors, fathers and mothers and healers of wounded people. Yeah, they're wounded now. Sure they are. But if I've got a critical eye, a religious eye, all I see is that, look at that guy. He needs to be run out of town. Why? What in the world does he have those stupid things all over his body for? Well, I can't see. Underneath that skin is a honor that God's going to use. I can name a number of people, but one young woman comes to my mind, pastor's wife in Southern Oregon, that came in the condition that I just described. And there was another young condition. And God took the little kernel out of their eye. And today they're leading the church. Today they're leading other churches, pastoring and ministering. But they looked like the world and they acted like the world and they were bound like the world, but somebody saw past the problem and saw their heart and prayed them into God. I encourage you today, my dear friend, to reposition your gift so it's not blinding you, but it's communicating with the world around you. Wow, that's a prayer I pray today. I'm being adjusted every day. I'm being adjusted every day. I showed up at a small group the other day of some leaders I meet with. One guy shouted out and said, "Thank God George Watkins is here. Now I'm not the oldest guy in the room." Oh, I laugh at it now. Okay, well, it's a badge of honor. Amen. I love you guys and gals. Thank you for this Sunday night time together. And remember, you are perfect in the sight of the Father. Stop trying to polish yourself up. God made you just like you are. He just wants you to allow him to reposition those things in your life so they are communicative skills and not hindering skills. Amen. Well, I'll see you in the morning, bright and early on Monday. We always kick off our Monday morning broadcast with a lot of steam. Not hot air. I mean, that steam is hot. Glory to God. Until then, be blessed. Don't forget to see us again and like us on Facebook and give us a like, give us a thumbs up and a comment. That's a big help. And share this with someone. And if you have been nudged by the Lord to send us a gift that will help us down our road, you can go to our PayPal in the notes, or the address is down there also. Over and over again until tomorrow morning, early, early, early. We go on at 4 in the morning so our precious friends in the East Coast can catch us at 7 in the morning. See how nice I am? Love you guys. See you tomorrow. God bless.